KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Chris Abshire.
Welcome into Rams Weekly. It's the first edition of the show in the new year where we're all three back together. With Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and myself, Brady Hull. It's good to be back with you boys.
Absolutely. Happy 2023.
Happy 2023. Are you having a hard time with saying? I mean, you write every day, so you're always dating stuff. Chris, you're dating stuff. So it's probably easy for you guys to just jump right into that.
I don't know. It's like everybody else. It takes me to like February before it really sinks in. The other day, I wrote 2021.
Well, I think once 2020 hit, like, it's all just been like, what year is this? What? I don't even know if I'm alive anymore. Well, guys, we were so excited to wrap up football season and get to basketball season because we really thought, you know, I don't know that we were predicting March Madness again for CSU, but we certainly thought it would be a fun year and all that. But so far, at least since we started Mountain West play, Colorado State has hit some pretty significant bumps in the road, most recently losing to the Air Force Falcons in overtime the other night, 85-74. And I was talking to Kevin about this earlier on the whole show. That was a frustrating basketball game to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, CSU fans, like, yeah, Air Force is supposed to be the team in basketball. I mean, that's the layup. You look at a schedule before the season, you check that game without thinking twice. I mean, you know, they've struggled so far in Mountain West play, but even then, I mean, coming into that game, they were still around a 10-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a game you have to get it done at home. And, you know, I get the grumbling from the fans, obviously. I mean, anytime you lose a game like that, I think there's a little bit of overreaction, but I for the most part, I think that it's warranted. That was an ugly game to watch in a lot of ways.
Kevin, you had mentioned it today. You know, that felt like maybe one of the worst losses for Coach Medved since he's been with Colorado State.
Yeah, I think it was. You know, if you look through it, there are a few early on, you know, but you kind of expect that in the start of a rebuild. But this one, you know, for where the program, you know, is and should be, felt pretty bad, pretty rough, just ugly, and just frustrating because, you know, CSU just couldn't get out of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a funk or whatever during the game, but yeah, especially defensively, Air Force just picked them apart, you know, the Princeton offense back cuts and all that, and they're just scoring at will in the paint, and just never being able to stop that, I think, was really mind-numbing.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you've seen this offense from them so many times. And these guys, they've all played – I mean, Isaiah Stevens, this is, what, his ninth time playing Air Force or something, eighth time? I mean, this is something that these players – you know, had a good idea of what was coming, and they still couldn't stop it, especially against a team that, you know, it's not like they've been throwing up these numbers on other Mountain West teams, on other, you know, solid teams. This was kind of out of nowhere. I mean, you don't expect Air Force to be able to come in and score on you like that.
Well, and how about on the defensive side for Air Force? I was watching the game on the Mountain West Network, listening to the local call, and they referenced it several times, and it was frustrating because you'd see this team work around the perimeter, try or around the three-point line, try to get something inside, and it would come down to the last 5 seconds, and it just turned into one-on-one, try to figure out what you – there was really no flow to the offensive side. Was that Air Force? Was that CSU just kind of flailing at the end of the shot clock? I mean, what was that, Kevin?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Air Force, you know, everyone knows the Princeton offense, but their defense is tricky too. They do a lot of different coverage schemes, and you can run one action three times. They'll defend it three different ways, so it takes a while to figure out what they're doing. But there was a lack of ball and player movement a lot of times, I would say. A lot of standing still. You know, no one really taking the reins on making things happen. So, you know, the defensive performance was by far, you know, the worst and biggest alarm bell of the night. But the offense wasn't great. Really, the only consistent success they had was when they would find Patrick Cartier down low. And, you know, he used, you know, kind of size advantage in the post. And he's so smooth in the post. But otherwise, you know, they couldn't get much going. You know, Isaiah Stevens had a really off-shooting night. I think as a combo, there are a lot of shots that, he, you know, he just normally hits and he missed them, which happens. And then, you know, some forcing of shots because, you know, again, the offense was struggling. And so they ended up forcing some stuff up. But yeah, I mean, I think certainly on the film side, I doubt they loved what they were doing on offense either.
Well, and Isaiah, like you said, there's not going to be many nights, no matter how bad things might get for Colorado State, where Stevens is going to go 6 of 22.
Yeah.
Did have a shot at the end of regulation.
It was a pretty good look.
It was
a nice out-bounds play, throwing it into Tanjay. He kind of screens off a defender and hands it off. You know, probably a 15-foot jumper, pretty good look. I think CSU was happy with that, but frankly, for how that game had gone was going, it was very fitting that didn't go in. It almost felt like it wouldn't.
Any other time, last year, whatever, I would have put money on it that Isaiah Stevens is going to knock that down and it's over. But this game, I was like, this is an ugly, gross game. I'm almost counting on Isaiah to miss it at this point, like you said.
That's how that game felt.
Yeah, and so let me ask you guys this question. John Tanjay, 1 of 4. Isaiah Rivera, 1 of 2 from the three-point line. Do they look hesitant? Do they look like the shooting woes are starting to creep into their brains a little bit? Because I noticed, and again, when a defense is shutting you down not for the most part, but the way Air Force was playing, finding a slight opening is hard to come by from the three-point line. And I felt like sometimes there were slight openings there, and maybe they second-guessed themselves too much, and then the opening was gone.
I sort of feel different for each of them. I think Rivera, yeah, he sometimes can be, yeah, a little bit too patient almost, or, you know, unwilling. I don't want to say unwilling to shoot, but, you know, maybe look for a pass or look for a different spot. Tanjay, I think, you know, clearly, you know, battling some confidence right now. And I think with him, we're seeing it in kind of the opposite way of almost trying to do too much, sort of bull in the China shop thing, trying, you know, of course it's well intended. He's trying to make things happen, but it's ending up with, you know, negative results sometimes of, you know, overdoing it, over exuberance. So I think we're seeing some different things from them. But overall, I mean, there's definitely, you know, some shot confidence in some of these guys right now, which, you know, happens. College sports are hard. It's really hard to be consistently high level.
No, I totally agree with Kevin. And I think the point about it manifesting differently, I do think in a way it can come back to confidence in both respects of maybe Isaiah Rivera isn't confident enough to really take the reins, you know, as one of CSU's key scorers, whereas John Tanjay kind of feels maybe some of that pressure. You know, maybe his confidence isn't up, but it's manifesting differently. Like Kevin says, you know, he's trying to force it up a little bit. But I think Kevin makes a great point also there of, you know, especially in basketball, even compared to, say, a sport like football or something, when you're shooting the ball, it's all about confidence. You know, you got to be confident in your stroke as you go up, not only in your stroke, but also just, you know, in the flow of the offense. Am I making the right call here? Am I making the right decision? I think right now CSU's kind of all over the place there. No one's truly, you know, this isn't last year's team where people knew they were going to roll the ball out on the floor. You know, you knew you had a guy who was going to go get you 20-plus a game with David Roddy. You know, right now there's not that same sense of confidence with this team, and it's manifesting very differently for everybody.
When watching this game, I couldn't help but think of the Roddy dunk, one of the craziest dunks, you know, against Air Force. And who was it? Was it Heidbreder that was kind of standing off into the distance watching that dunk go down? And you kind of see him with his jaw open, and he's like, holy cow. I couldn't help but have flashbacks of that, where if I'm an Air Force player, I'm almost like, there's no David Roddy here tonight to save you guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the league was happy to see him go. Just like, you know, it's kind of always funny as that happens, you know, fans like, you know, give a round of applause when someone leaves of like, hey, you were a menace, but we respect you, and we are so happy you're gone.
So we look at this team, you know, UNLV. I was watching Boise State and UNLV last night. And I kept thinking UNLV was going to make a comeback. They'd edge closer. Boise would pull away. Then UNLV would come back. So that's the next battle for CSU. I mean, guys, for our listeners out there, is it going to get any better? I mean, is it going to get a little bit better? Is it going to get any better? Is it going to get much better? I mean, or is it going to get – could it get potentially worse?
All of the above. I mean, it could certainly get worse because you look at a schedule. You have your next two are UNLV on the road and San Diego State at home. That's not easy.
That's not fun.
You know, so I kind of asked Nico Meva about that. You know, no disrespect to Air Force, but, you know, is there even greater sense of urgency because you're not playing the best team in the league right now and you're about to be, that you better fix things. So, yeah, in that way, it could be, but I think this team will respond. They are not as bad as they played against Air Force. There's just no doubt about that. I mean, this is a team that still did beat St. Mary's. They beat the tar off of LMU. LMU is pretty good. They destroyed Weber State, who saw College of Charleston. You know, we kind of thought that was a nothing game. CSU was right in that till the end. Charleston's ranked and has one loss. You know, so this team can be good. So I think they will be better in spurts, but not consistently so, probably.
I'll say this. I don't think – I mean, even if they lose a bunch more games this year, I don't think it can get much worse than the other night, simply because Air Force at home is the easiest Mountain West game on CSU's schedule. I mean, no doubt about that. Losing that game, to me, I mean, that's kind of a rock-bottom point. I'm with Kevin, though. I mean, this team has got too many good individual pieces. Maybe it's not – cohering this year the way we thought it would, but there's no way that this team is not going to come out and you know, surprise a team they shouldn't. You know, like Kevin said, maybe at home, you know, you get the crowd behind you, something like that. But there's, I mean, Isaiah Stevens is going to will this team to a win somewhere, in my opinion, where, you know, maybe they haven't played like it, but they don't belong in the conversation, but they upset somebody. I mean, that's kind of my thinking on it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. When you do have a player who has an it factor, and Isaiah Stevens is one of those guys. I don't know what it looks like for him next year. I don't know if he's a next-level guy or an NBA guy. I think he's certainly a next-level guy, a pro-level guy. But you just think, you have a guy on your roster like that, that's going to yield you a few wins that maybe you shouldn't get. So we'll talk more about that. Isaiah Stevens, I know the season's not over, but what does his future look like? Is this going to be it for him with CSU? And maybe some interesting thoughts from Rams fans about Nico Medved and this coaching staff. We'll get into that more on the other side. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Never could believe the way you are.
Every day I bless the day.
It is kind of a slow ride right now for CSU. I mean, it just kind of feels like that.
They can't really afford to take it easy, though.
No, they can't. No, they cannot. Well done by you. Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle, the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kevin, you're sporting the Rockies gear today, man.
Pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I am, like, ready to go.
Back of the closet gear.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't think you owned any Rocky stuff. Are you a Rockies guy?
Yeah, I'm
I mean, as much as you can be in this state.
They make it hard right now.
The way you answered that tells me all I need to know. That's absolutely right.
I've seen some things.
Even the biggest Rockies fans are going to have the same reaction.
Yeah, that's true. You big Rockies guy? Hi! You know.
As much as they allow me to be.
Yeah, it's baseball, right? It's outside. It's good to get fresh air. It's fantastic. Isaiah Stevens. I just kept in my head, guys, I just was like, oh, this is it for him. He's played, because there's a lot of guys with the COVID years and all that stuff where this feels like they played college basketball for such a long time. UNC Bears have one of those guys with Dalen Coutts, well, two of them, with Matt Johnson and Dalen Coutts. It seems like they've been there forever. But Isaiah Stevens could come back next year. He's not going to let's just assume this year fizzles and it's weird. They get, you know, maybe they win a first round game, they lose in the second round. I don't even know if that happens. Isaiah's going to come back to try to finish what he started here, right?
I don't know. So I asked around a little bit this week just to see if that conversation has happened. And no, basically, is the answer. They haven't really discussed that yet. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, Isaiah knows. Like, he understands his own eligibility. But I don't think that's happened. At the start of the season, I would have thought, you know, he's done for sure. Then the injury happened. That made me kind of wonder, you know, if maybe he'd want to do another. But I don't know. There's a way I can see he comes back. If I still had to guess, I'd say he'll go pursue his pro opportunities after. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a way you can see, and certainly it's a conversation to have. You know, him and John Tanjay are both seniors, but do have the COVID option if they want to take it. And the coaching staff wants them to take it, which I'm sure they would. So it's, you know, there is no answer yet. I don't think there's a definitive yes or no on either side. Like I say, I don't really think Isaiah will come back, but I think there will be conversations.
You alluded to it a little bit, Brady. I mean, I do think your best chance. Isaiah Stevens is notoriously competitive. You know, everybody that's encountered him, you know, has a story about, you know, how relentless, how ruthless he is as a competitor. I think that's your best chance. You appeal to him and say, hey, look, you had the injury. You didn't have your best year. We didn't have our best year as a team. You still have something to prove. I think that's the pitch you have to have if you're the CSU staff. Now, I don't know. I'm with Kevin there. I think you're looking at, you know, a 10-20% chance. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a strong lean right now that he would consider it, but who knows if you appeal to him.
And I guess you don't have the NBA draft. I mean, I don't think Stevens is getting drafted.
I don't think so either. He's certainly a pro, and he certainly obviously wants to be an NBA guy. So maybe that's part of your pitch, too, of, hey, one more season playing really well at a high level of college basketball is your best bet to showcase that. But yeah, he's a pro, certainly, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure he'll be the NBA.
So he wouldn't really have the NBA draft necessarily. Like Roddy, it was like, you're probably going to get drafted.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people predicted first round.
It was basically,
but
you're going to get drafted, but where?
Yeah.
You know, high enough that's worth leaving.
So that's appealing to anybody. It's like, dude, yeah. Two rounds, if I'm in one of those slots, yeah, I'm going to go play professional basketball or NBA basketball. And the other thing with Isaiah Stevens, and again, I want to get into this conversation with you guys a little bit, maybe not later down the road, but we've talked, Kevin, you've talked about the collective. You wrote a big piece on that in the Coloradoan about the NIL stuff and about what CSU is doing to basically, just to put a visual thing up there, it's like a giant pot and people can throw money in there and basically the school pulls out money and it can go to
the collective players. Pulls out money.
The collective.
The school doesn't. School can't.
What is the collective? Is that like people in robes hanging around? And
it sounds like that, yeah. So yeah, it's an organization that, you know, I guess works in cooperation with CSU, but not, they cannot work with CSU. CSU cannot touch that money. It's not CSU's to touch or distribute. It's for the collective to distribute. But no doubt, with, you know, Isaiah Stevens, for instance, if there, it, you know, is a thought of coming back, NIL is going to be part of that, of like, you know, make it worth his time
to
forego a year of being a professional where you are, you know, have a contract to stay here and play another season in college. So, yeah, money goes into the collective and, you know, goods of service. And they really don't want to be pay for play like some schools are doing, which is technically illegal, but, you know, some underhand stuff. They do actually want services done, you know, so host a radio show
sure.
You know, just to pluck something out of thin air. Kids camps. I mean, Isaiah has done a lot of work running kids camps.
Yeah.
You know, there are Instagram videos all over of him working with kids. So that's the type of stuff that the money is going to. You know, it's not just, you know, oh, you're putting on the jersey, so here's $100K.
Yeah, like, hey, we want you to do an autograph session or
something.
Yeah,
autograph
like that.
Sessions are in the mix.
Okay,
all sorts of things.
The collective then is not, it's not a, so it's not affiliated with CSU.
Nope.
So basically somebody
it's
came
a group
up
of somebody's, yep.
And they're like, hey, we don't have a tie to CSU, but we're creating, like, theoretically it could be me. I could have set this up.
You could have started a collective.
Okay, so, and then basically it's that, and it's in this pot, and then we get to use it as the collective as we see fit. Let me ask this question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this. Can Joe Parker and or a coach call the collective and say, hey, guys, we got a guy here. Is there any, can they talk? Can they have those conversations?
I believe that is illegal. That falls kind of into the pay-for-play type
even
idea.
Even if we have a guy that's already here, but he's interested in working with you guys.
Again, I'll get through the weeds, but no, I think CSU cannot, you know, kind of make those marriages happen.
So it's up to the collective
now,
then.
Again, let's be real.
The collective and the people involved are smart enough to understand the incentives.
Say, what's going
on? The people running the collective are CSU, you know, fans and boosters. They know what's going on.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of those. You don't need to say, hey, it would be nice if Isaiah Stevens or Clay Millen are taking, you know, are in.
They already kind of know.
You know,
it,
a lot of it's just common sense. But no, CSU cannot direct where funds go or anything like that. People that donate, you can, you know, Brady, you're like a billionaire, I think it is.
Pretty close.
So you can put in $100 million, but you want to go all to men's basketball. You can direct that.
Can I put it in and say I want it all to go to Isaiah Stevens?
Yeah, I believe so. And or you could just put it into the general pot, and it'll be kind of used as see fit. So you have options on how to do it there. And you know, this is in its infancy. It will grow.
It's very unique.
You know, the NCAA maybe will at some point come up with guidelines or such. Maybe not. It's the NCAA. Who knows? But yeah, it's a very fascinating thing. CSU, I will say this. Others don't want to. CSU is behind on NIL. They've taken too long to find their footing. That's not the fault of the collective at all. They've been working on this a long time. I think they are well-intended and are making good strides and will make good strides. But CSU is a little late to the party.
Yeah, and there's some stuff I probably won't talk about it on the air, but we can talk in private about it. But as far as even Learfield, I don't know what Learfield thinks of the NIL stuff. What I've heard at the beginning of all of this, that Learfield kind of shied away from it, didn't want to have a lot of these athletes involved. So you do wonder, you know,
well, what's fascinating, you know, because let's go to, you know, the Nears Brewery, which is actually a great idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
And talk to every single person in there and say, what do you know about NIL and what do you think of it?
Yeah.
We will get 150 different responses.
Hey, shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, ranging from, I don't know what you're talking about, please stop talking to me, to, I think it's the greatest thing in the world, to, it has ruined college sports and probably ruined America. That's how wide, you know, I'm, obviously that's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true.
Oh, there's some people that I would say, they're ruining.
You know, that's
country.
How wide the feeling is on all of this stuff. And so even within a school or an athletic department, you're going to have very wide ranging, probably even on coaching staffs. You know, you can easily see how a football coaching staff that has, you know, a 27-year-old coach and a 72-year-old coach, people from backgrounds all over, some of them think this is great. Some of them think it's the worst thing ever. So it's all over the map. It's super fascinating.
So basically, Rams fans, if you're listening, get your wallets out. Put them in that weird little collective pot.
You're whining about recruiting? The answer literally can be in the mirror.
Put it in there. Put a little note. This goes to Isaiah. And then maybe he'll be back. We'll talk more Rams basketball on the other side. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Week. I'm telling you guys, I could talk about the NIL stuff because it fascinates me for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this summer we'll do like this special show on.
I'm supremely fascinated by it. It's one of those. I have lots of off-the-record conversations about it that, man,
you wish you could tell your story.
Yeah.
But no, it's unreal. And
well, it's just so new. Everyone is trying. You know, because a lot of things like, okay, I get a job covering college wrestling. I want to learn a ton because it's fairly new to me. But there are lots of experts to tell me about it. NIL is so new to everyone. We're all trying to learn it right now. Even, you know, people running collectives, athletic directors, coaches, we're all in different ways, but all trying to figure it all out right now because it's just chaos and it's so new.
Yeah, well, and I've sat down because obviously you know what we do with the radio stuff. We work with UNC and CSU players on this. And I sit down with businesses. And beyond the radio show, we've all sat down and we're like, hey, I want to do something with Henry Blackburn. And I'm like, okay, what? And they're like, I don't know yet.
Not sure.
Like, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, what do you do with these guys? And that's what people are still trying to figure out. And again, there's commercials, there's inventory you can do, but people are just trying to figure out what's the best use of NIL.
I would say it's not just, you know, figuring out what's within sort of like the rules and the limits, but also what, you know, where do these athletes bring these businesses the, you know, specific value they're looking
for.
Kind of figuring out where that balance is of, you know, where do they bring me value? What's good for them? You know, I mean, we're still trying to figure out, you know, where the market's going to land on a lot of these things.
And you do ask that, like, if you're a business owner, am I doing it just to support or am I doing it as an actual advertising campaign? Well, and that's the question. It's like, is Henry Blackburn going to
And there's another avenue, too, like talking with the Green and Gold Guard, that's CSU's collective, talking with some folks in that. They're also looking almost as we look at internships of school, like, okay, let's say, well, let's just keep using the radio. We have a kid that's a, you know, communications broadcast, you know, major that's what they he or she wants to do. So can we put them with a, you know, a radio station, a TV station to work on whatever it is they you want to do professionally? But instead of it just being an internship, they can also get a little bit of money for it, just like any normal college kid could. So it's kind of interesting there too. So yeah, it's what's best for, you know, the brand, the advertiser, what's best for the kid, and then is there almost a, you know, a learning development? Because I think there's a lot of negativity from some parts around NIL of like, oh, it's so impure. But there's also some really cool stuff of, like I say, a kid, you know. Let's say you're a computer software engineer, and you connect with a business and get a little money for that and learn it, and it helps you grow. Like, everyone wants to think about the, you know, the quarterback going and getting $500K, but there are a lot. Most of these NIL deals are actually small ones that are just helping, you know, relationships, and basically learning, like create, you know, professional business relationships
and learning how to be. And I'm just learning how to be an adult. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to throw out any names. There are guys that don't know what W-9s and W-2s, and they don't know what those are. And I'll be honest, when I was just going to college, I wasn't that well-versed on all that stuff.
When I was 20, I didn't know that.
But imagine if you can get into that now, and you're signing contracts, and you're looking at this. Oh, I need to provide this. Oh, this is coming out of taxes and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, I talked to David Roddy last I'll talk to David Roddy last year because, you know, he obviously had several NIL deals, including one with our great friends at KFK. I remember saying to him, I was like, hey, I mean, you're a 20, 21-year-old kid, you're in meetings with CEOs. Like, most 21-year-olds don't get those. I was like, what's that experience like? And of course, everyone that knows David knows that he has such a great worldview. He's like, this is incredible. He's like, you know, I'm basically getting a business major through basically my NIL work because I'm in these meetings where, you know, he kind of is like, yeah, maybe it's a little daunting, but such great experience. So, again, yes, is there negative stuff with NIL? Is it being used 100% properly? No, of course not. But there's a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah, well, and I'm still, I mean, I'm just going to say, David, with his draft interviews, probably killed those of his radio.
I heard,
intense,
you know,
interviews.
Yeah, sources told me that the Grizzlies have been listening to the David Roddy show on KFK, and they're like, well, we're drafting him.
I sent him those podcasts.
You know, Ja Morant was listening, and he called up the GM. He's like, we have to draft this guy.
Well, Ja's, you know, I'm waiting to hear from Ja on a radio show now, actually.
Get him an NIL. Yeah, does he even make much?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
What actually happened was Ja saw that poster dunk against Air Force and said, we got to join him up with me.
Yeah.
This might actually be more true.
Wait, what are you guys saying?
That Grizzlies team is so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
tied for the lead with the Nuggets in the West right now.
They could be playing in the playoffs.
Can I, since we're talking Dave Wright, we've kind of got off the rails here, but it's fun. So I did, you know, I know a lot of CSU fans went down and saw David when he played in Denver a couple weeks ago, and then couple days later they were playing Phoenix, but CSU was playing in Phoenix the next night. So the Grizzlies flew from Denver straight down to Phoenix. David and Trey McBride were seeing courtside of that game. I was able to go talk to David and his mom at halftime, and I think David would be fine with me sharing this. He did say, you know, obviously he's loving life in the NBA. It's a really cool experience. It's, you know, what he wanted. But he did say he very much misses, you know, playing in Fort Collins. And, you know, there's some special to playing at Moby that, yeah, he's obviously doing just fine. But he definitely still misses that and still loves that and cherished his time at CSU. So for CSU fans out there, no doubt David, you know, still holds CSU near and dear to his heart. You know, he was riding the officials. It was funny watching him courtside. He was so into that game. It was, you know, because some of these guys, they can kind of play the, like, you know, college, it's too small. You know, it's small time now.
Yeah,
I'm
now
big NBA. I was like, David, don't get kicked out of this game because you're screaming at officials. Like, it was that. He was so into it. At one point, Josiah Strong hit three-pointer right in front of him. David gives him a huge high five. It was pretty fun. Like, he was total, like, fanboying on CSU, which is pretty cool.
And that's a guy who he didn't even play with. Josiah wasn't on that team last year.
So. Yeah, that's one of those guys. I'm sure you mentioned he missed the radio show, too.
That's how he led, yeah.
I would imagine. So.
He's like, give my best to Brady.
He's like, Kevin, how's Brady?
I text him all the time, like, 2 in the morning. I'm like, what's going on, man? You wanna get on the show? Is it you up, David, man? I missed those times. I'll send him the pictures and all that stuff. It's fantastic. But we do have the Isaiah Stevens show coming up tomorrow. Yep. We'll see how that goes.
As obviously we all know, but talking basketball or really anything, but especially basketball with him is just fun. That kid is so thoughtful, smart, savvy. and just a junkie. Right?
Oh,
he loves his basketball.
And he's so good at the radio stuff, too, because, you know, even when you're losing, I mean, he's just so open to talking
very
about
that stuff. And you can see Nico reflected. Nico, obviously not thrilled talking about the Air Force game, but more than willing to share and be open, honest about, you know, we didn't get any, you know, brick by brick building of this. Very honest about what they are right now, what their problems are. And I think Isaiah reflects a lot of that too, of, hey, you got, you know, if you want to be in this high profile position, you kind of have to take the bad with the good and be open up front about it. I can respect that from this program.
There's certainly a reason why a lot of people think Isaiah has coaching in his future as well.
I am one of them.
Well, I would like a couple of bricks thrown in there at some point just to know we're going to build this thing brick by brick. Miss old Steve Adazio, this close, all that. The idea, and I know we'll talk about this more on the other side, but this idea, and I'm not trying to fanboy it here because I'm a big fan of Nico Medved as a coach and a person. I think he's a great individual. I think the coaching staff, I haven't met a member of that coaching staff that I don't just walk away going, wow, those guys are freaking awesome. But this idea that there's any sense of pressure for Nico. Now, there's pressure because you want
pressure,
to be successful, but he ain't going anywhere. Yeah. And if that's what you're thinking, you're out of your mind. Nico's going to have like two or three terrible seasons for us to really start having that chat.
Yeah, I mean, CSU, you know, CSU doesn't have a great basketball history. It's not bad. It's very just like
middle of the pack.
Middle pack.
Yeah.
It's basically a 500 all-time program. CSU's only made 11 NCAA tournaments, and one of them was 10 months ago. They got their best ever seed. It was one of CSU's best teams ever. And so, to you know, yeah, this season's been frustrating, but no, there's no job, you know, is the job on the line type of pressure. It would take several seasons of this because they've clearly built well, and I don't expect that to happen. I mean, I think this is going to be a blip type of season, but you don't understand how things work if you're looking at him under pressure.
I think it's easy to get lost in the immediate frustration of the recent results, but at the same time, this coaching staff did not forget how to coach basketball in the span of 10 months. You know, this is a staff that, and I don't think it was just David Roddy either. Obviously, having a first-round NBA draft pick is going to make any coach look better.
Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. But no, I think the staff, good shape. I consider it a blip. A lot of injuries. They'll be fine.
Well, and you know, you go back to the game a week or two ago against Nevada. That's a very good basketball team, and CSU had plenty of opportunities. Yeah. So maybe that team is there, and you can really start
this
to see them
show up. This team still won at St. Mary's. Yeah, very few teams do that.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Maybe they can get something going this weekend. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Welcome back into Rams Week. I'm telling you guys, I could talk about the NIL stuff because it fascinates me for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this summer we'll do like this special show on.
I'm supremely fascinated by it. It's one of those, I have lots of off-the-record conversations about it that, man,
you wish you could tell your story.
Yeah.
But no, it's unreal. And
well, it's just so new. Everyone is trying, you know, because a lot of things, like, okay, I get a job covering college wrestling. I want to learn a ton because it's fairly new to me. But there are lots of experts to tell me about it. NIL is so new to everyone. We're all trying to learn it right now. Even, you know, people running collectives, athletic directors, coaches, we're all in different ways, but all trying to figure it all out right now because it's just chaos and it's so new.
Yeah, well, and I've sat down, because obviously you know what we do with the radio stuff. We work with UNC and CSU players on this. And I sit down with businesses. And beyond the radio show, we've all sat down and we're like, hey, I want to do something with Henry Blackburn. And I'm like, okay, what? And they're like, I don't know yet.
Not sure.
Like, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, what do you do with these guys? And that's what people are still trying to figure out. And again, there's commercials, there's inventory you can do, but people are just trying to figure out what's the best use of NIL.
I would say it's not just, you know, figuring out what's within sort of like the rules and the limits, but also what, you know, where do these athletes bring these businesses the, you know, specific value they're looking
exactly
for, kind of figuring out where that balance is of, you know, where do they bring me value, what's good for them, you know, I mean, we're still trying to figure out, you know, where the market's going to land on a lot of these things.
And you do ask that, like, if you're a business owner, am I doing it just to support or am I doing it as an actual advertising campaign? Well, and that's the question. It's like, is Henry Blackburn going to
do that? And there's another avenue, too, like talking with the Green and Gold Guard, that's CSU's collective, talking with some folks in that. They're also looking almost as we look at internships of school, like, okay, let's say – well, let's just keep using the radio. We have a kid that's a communications broadcast major. That's what he or she wants to do. So can we put them with a radio station, a TV station to work on whatever it is they you want to do professionally? But instead of it just being an internship, they can also get a little bit of money for it, just like any normal college kid could. So it's kind of interesting there too. So yeah, it's what's best for the brand, the advertiser, what's best for the kid, and then is there almost a learning development? Because I think there's a lot of negativity from some parts around NIL of like, oh, it's so impure. But there's also some really cool stuff of, like I say, a kid, say you're a computer software engineer and you connect with a business and get a little money for that and learn it and it helps you grow. Like, everyone wants to think about the quarterback going and getting $500K.
Nope.
But there are a lot, most of these NIL deals are actually small ones that are just helping, relationships.
And
basically
learning,
like, create, professional business relationships.
And learning how to be, and I'm just learning how to be an adult. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to throw out any names. There are guys that don't know what W-9s and W-2s, and they don't know what those are. And I'll be honest, when I was just going to college, I wasn't that well versed
on all that stuff. When I was 20, I didn't know that.
But imagine if you can get into that now, and you're signing contracts, and you're looking at this. Oh, I need to provide this. Oh, this is coming out of taxes and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, I talked to David Roddy last year, because he obviously had several NIL deals, including one with our great friends at KFK. I remember saying to him, I was like, hey, I mean, you're a 20, 21-year-old kid, you're in meetings with CEOs. Like, most 21-year-olds don't get those. It's like, what's that experience like? And of course, everyone that knows David knows that he has such a great worldview. He's like, this is incredible. He's like, I'm basically getting a business major through basically my NIL work because I'm in these meetings where, he kind of is like, yeah, maybe it's a little daunting, but such great experience. So, again, yes, is there negative stuff with NIL? Is it being used 100% properly? No, of course not. But there's a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah, well, and I'm just going to say, David, with his draft interviews, probably killed
those
of his radio.
I heard,
intense interviews.
Yeah, sources told me that the Grizzlies have been listening to the David Roddy show on KFK, and they're like, well, we're drafting him.
I sent him those podcasts.
Ja Morant was listening, and he called up the GM. He's like, we have to draft this guy.
Well, and Ja's, I'm waiting to hear from Ja on a radio show now, actually.
We'll get him an NIL.
Yeah,
does he even make much?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
What actually happened was Ja saw that poster dunk against Air Force and said, we got to join him up with me.
Yeah,
this might actually be more true.
Wait, what were you guys saying?
That Grizzlies team is so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
tied for the lead with the Nuggets in the West right now.
They could be playing in the
playoffs. Since we're talking Dave Wright, we've kind of got off the rails here, but it's fun. So I did, I know a lot of CSU fans went down and saw David when he played in Denver. A couple weeks ago, and then the couple days later they were playing Phoenix, but CSU was playing in Phoenix the next night. So the Grizzlies flew from Denver straight down to Phoenix. David and Trey McBride were sitting courtside of that game. I was able to go talk to David and his mom at halftime, and I think David would be fine with me sharing this. He did say, obviously he's loving life in the NBA. It's a really cool experience. It's, what he wanted. But he did say he very much misses, playing in Fort Collins. And, there's some special to playing at Moby that, he's obviously doing just fine. But he definitely still misses that and still loves that and cherished his time at CSU. So for CSU fans out there, no doubt, David, still holds CSU near and dear to his heart. He was riding the officials. It was funny watching him courtside. He was so into that game. It was, because some of these guys, they can kind of play the, college, it's too small. It's small time now.
Yeah,
I'm
now
big NBA
guy.
I was like, David, don't get kicked out of this game because you're screaming at officials. Like, it was that. He was so into it. At one point, Josiah Strong hit three-pointer right in front of him. David gives him a huge high five. It was pretty fun. Like, he was total, like, fanboying on CSU, which is pretty cool.
And that's a guy who he didn't even play with. Josiah was on that team last year.
So. Yeah, that's one of those guys. I'm sure you mentioned he missed the radio show, too.
That's how he led, yeah.
I would imagine. So.
Give my best to Brady.
He's like, Kevin, how's Brady?
I text him all the time, like, 2 in the morning. I'm like, what's going on, man? You want to get on the show? Is it you up, David, man? I missed those times. I'll send him the pictures and all that stuff. It's fantastic. But we do have the Isaiah Stevens show coming up tomorrow. Yep. We'll see how that goes.
As obviously we all know, but talking basketball or really anything, but especially basketball with him is just fun. That kid is so thoughtful, smart, savvy. And just a junkie. Right?
Oh,
he loves his basketball.
And he's so good at the radio stuff, too. Because, you know, even when you're losing, I mean, he's just so open to talking
very
about
coach. And you can see Nico reflected. Nico, obviously not thrilled talking about the Air Force game, but more than willing to share and be open and honest about, you know, we didn't get any, you know, brick by brick building of this. Very honest about what they are right now, what their problems are. And I think Isaiah reflects a lot of that too, of, hey, you got, you know, if you want to be in this high profile position, you kind of have to take the bad with the good and be open and upfront about it. I can respect that from this program.
There's certainly a reason why a lot of people think Isaiah has coaching in his future as well.
I am one of them.
Well, I would like a couple of bricks thrown in there at some point just to know we're going to build this thing brick by brick. Miss old Steve Adazio, this close, all that. The idea, and I know we'll talk about this more on the other side, but this idea, and I'm not trying to fanboy it here because I'm a big fan of Nico Medved as a coach and a person. I think he's a great individual. I think the coaching staff, I haven't met a member of that coaching staff that I don't just walk away going, wow, those guys are freaking awesome. But this idea that there's any sense of pressure for Nico. Now, there's pressure because you want
pressure,
to be successful, but he ain't going anywhere. Yeah. And if that's what you're thinking, you're out of your mind. Nico's going to have like 2 or 3 terrible seasons for us to really start having that chat.
Yeah, I mean, CSU, you know, CSU doesn't have a great basketball history. It's not bad. It's very just like
middle of the pack.
Middle pack.
Yeah.
It's basically a 500 all-time program. CSU's only made 11 NCAA tournaments, and one of them was 10 months ago. They got their best ever seed. It was one of CSU's best teams ever. And so, this season's been frustrating, but no, there's no job, you know, is the job on the line type of pressure. It would take several seasons of this because they've clearly built well, and I don't expect that to happen. I mean, I think this is going to be a blip type of season, but you don't understand how things work if you're looking at him under pressure.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's easy to get lost in the immediate frustration of the recent results, but at the same time, this coaching staff did not forget how to coach basketball in the span of 10 months. You know, this is a staff that, and I don't think it was just David Roddy either. Obviously, having a first-round NBA draft pick is going to make any coach look better.
Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. But no, I think the staff, good shape. I consider it a blip. A lot of injuries. They'll be fine.
Well, and you know, you go back to the game a week or two ago against Nevada. That's a very good basketball team, and CSU had plenty of opportunities. Yeah. So maybe that team is there, and you can really start
this
to see them
still
show
up. This team's 1-8 at St. Mary's. Few teams do that.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Maybe they can get something going this weekend. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah.